Please open in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be taking a look at verses 24 through 27 this morning. We are going to jump right to an illustration that Paul gives to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Amen. Today I'd like us all to just take a step back, if we could, and ask yourself, what am I living for? What shapes your life? Every life is shaped. What motivates you? What drives you? What determines how you use your time and what your priorities are in life? And Paul's exhortation to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9, he lays out his actions in life, his calling, how he strives for the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he goes about it, and what it takes to preach the gospel. And in this, he gives us this illustration of what striving for the gospel looks like, of what living for God looks like. And so Paul presents to us this question. Are we pursuing God foremost in our lives? God, his glory, his kingdom, his righteousness, and his will be done. Or in stark contrast, are we pursuing our glory, our kingdom, and our will? Now you might say, well, no, of course I don't do that. But I'd ask us this morning to really soberly consider, are there little parts we're hanging on to of that old man? Well, you might say, the Christian life is often characterized in Scripture as a battle, and it is. And here we also see it's described as a race, isn't it? In 1 Corinthians 9. We see this again in Hebrews 12, don't we? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Paul states that one running in a race is running to win the race. And that and those who run in the race, they must be disciplined to win, or temperate, it says. You don't just run or show up in a race for the first time and say, I'm going to win this thing. I've never run before, but I'm going to win. No. And it's not just running for the fun of it, is it? Has anybody done any fun runs or 5Ks like that for maybe a fundraiser? You know, and unfortunately, that's sometimes how we run this Christian life race, isn't it? It's just kind of nice. I showed up on Sunday morning, and that was pretty good, right? Oh, but of course, this is the run of our lives, isn't it? This is the race towards heaven and the upward call of Christ. This is the race you're so compelled to run because it's a race by which you were set into by liberty through the death and resurrection of Christ. We're now free to run. We're free to run and not live for self and chained to sin. We have launched, like off the starting blocks, we have launched into life for God. And we have this endless inheritance that's found in Christ alone. Yet we see that the athlete here described by Paul is running a race. He's striving for a perishable crown, maybe a trophy or a name in a record book. And I still remember up at Cherry Creek High School, that's where on the pool at Cherry Creek High School, all the state record holders' names are for swimming and diving. And it was exciting to have my name up there for a little while, but it wasn't up there very long, maybe a year or two, because the record was broken. It was perishable. It was a perishable crown. It only lasts for a time, but we run for an imperishable crown of glory that will never fade away. We run for an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, a living hope stored up in heaven for us. Now, children, let me explain this to you. We're using big words, perishable. Well, let me explain that. During the time Paul was writing this, about 2,000 years ago, The Romans held the ancient Olympic Games, and the winner was given a crown, a very pretty crown that they made out of bay laurel leaves. You may have seen one of these before. And it was a very special honor. It was actually only worn by either like Roman emperors or maybe victors in battles or by the Olympic champions. But this crown made of bay laurel leaves wouldn't last forever, would it? What happens to leaves in time? They die, they wilt, they sort of fade away, don't they? But we run for a different race, for a different crown that's not of this world, not made of leaves, but made of the grace of God. A crown that will never fade away, a crown that is eternal through the death and resurrection of Christ by grace and faith alone. So this calling to us is that we must examine our lives. We must examine ourselves. Am I running after an imperishable crown in this life? Are you seeking foremost God and running after him? Or are you chasing a perishable crown, one that does not last, but is temporary and earthly and satisfies for a time, but never fulfills? Now, how would you know? Well, it's always sometimes good to listen to ourselves, isn't it? Ask yourselves, what do I talk about? In my conversations, do I talk about the world? Do I talk about other people a lot, what they're doing right and wrong? Or are my conversations about God, about what he's doing in our lives, about his truth applied, about his kingdom come? Do you, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, do you, through love, serve one another? Or are you just tempted to show up for the game night? Do you bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord? Or are you critical and analyzing the worship style? Oh, may we set our mind on things above, things that are lasting, eternal, things that matter. This should characterize us. This should, in fact, be our hallmark as Christians, born out of a love for God, seeking that imperishable crown. And so it is, we know what we're striving for. We know what race we're running. Verse 26 says this, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, for I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day." Proverbs 4 is instructive to us here. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. It's going to be hard to win a race if you're looking off to the side the whole time. See, this race in the Christian life, there's a focus. Despite all the distractions, despite all the nagging temptations of the flesh, there's a faith-fueled focus. There's a spirit-driven resolve, a deliberate, intentional seeking after God, putting on Christ and putting away the desires of the flesh. We're sure of our goal. We know what we're pursuing, and we don't have time for fruitless things. Again, verse 26 says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." The picture here is one of boxing. And I can tell you, one of the most challenging sports I've ever done was boxing. Boxing is really hard. You know, for a long time, I never understood. I was like, it's like any other sport. Played soccer, you know, played all kinds of things. Basketball. But I think I was on my fourth match, and I remember the bell rung. I come out for the third round. I was so exhausted, I couldn't even hold up my gloves. I just said, just hit me. Let's just get this over with. Because I had expended so much energy in those first two rounds. But then it hit me. Literally. See, in boxing, it's you're exerting all this energy like any other sport, right? Like soccer or basketball. But the thing about boxing is you're exerting all that energy like any other sport while getting beat up at the same time. Try playing soccer and getting punched in the face every 2 seconds. I'm sure our brother Thomas is familiar with that in jiu-jitsu too. But what's critical in boxing that Paul's drawing out here is our focus, is our kind of our energy management. You don't waste energy just throwing your hands out. You'll lose that way. As Paul says, not as one who beats the air. Paul says, no, you maximize your energy by making every punch land on its target. It has an effect. It has an outcome. In fact, that's how you win a boxing match, by the judges. You land every blow. And so it is in our Christian life. Your faith that you've been given in your soul has been redeemed by God. Don't waste it. Every minute God's given you in this life, use it for his glory. Every gift he's imparted with you, use it to the maximum. If he's given you the ability to talk, probably given to most people in this room, except for little ones, use it for his glory. Talk about him. Talk about good things. Share his truth with the world. This is Paul's plea to the Corinthians and to us. He made you not to just hang out in life. He made you to have an effect. Like the winning boxer, every strike has an impact. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. By faith, by walking in the Spirit, you're focused, you're trained. You're not wasting time throwing punches away on fruitless things, worldly endeavors, conversations about fleeting things, selfish pursuits, and idle distractions. No, you're focused. You're the winning boxer. You're disciplined. You've trained in godliness. You walk by faith. Your mind is set on things above. You know what you're living for. With certainty, you run after an imperishable crown. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. So I'll end this morning by just returning to the question that I asked in the beginning. What are you living for? What race are you running? Just a few questions now as we enter our time of confession, when we will confess corporately and individually. What race are you running? What's your finish line? Where is your focus? And maybe most importantly, how does your faith shape your life in that race? Now, these are good questions for us to consider now. I'd also ask us, or consider that you ask one another these questions this week. Yes, step out of that awkward, surfacey conversation world that we like and take a little step deeper. We all know that any fruit brought forth by the word and by the stirring up of one another comes by faith and the conviction of the Spirit, not by our own strength. Not by his power on just within us, but his power working through us. For if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And if the Spirit convicts you today, remember the call, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Confess your sins that you may be healed, and run after an imperishable crown of glory that will last forever. Decide today, what will you put off in life as you put on more of Christ? And run the race for that crown in heaven. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we confess to you that there are many, many things vying in this race for our time, for our energy, for our focus. Oh, Lord, we pray that these things would be set down. Even the things of the world which we must engage in every day, Lord, help us to hold them loosely, but help us to hold tightly your truths. Your promises, oh, your cross that you've called us to carry. Father, we thank you for this now. And as we enter this time, we pray now as we each consider, what is our race we're running? What is that finish line? And how does this faith that you've given us shape our life in this race? We take a moment now to individually confess to you.